This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. So in this kitab of Ibn al-Qayyim, we are on the 40th chapter, Al-Bab al-Arba'un, which is about the... He's basically, what he seems to be doing is that he seems to be really, really segmenting it in a way that he encompasses numerous different topics. And some of it seems to be a bit repetitive in the sense that many of these narrations come beforehand anyway. So what I do is I try to be selective. I don't cover everything that he mentions because then it would get very, very, very long. So this chapter, he says, is about mentioning the highest person in Jannah, meaning the highest person, the person of the highest level in Jannah, and the person of the lowest level in Jannah. And clearly, right from the beginning, the highest level person in Jannah is the leader of the children of Adam alayhi salam, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ وَرَفَعْ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Those are the messengers. Those are the messengers. We gave some virtue over the others. So although they are all virtuous, but some have a bit more fadila and virtue than others. So among them are those who spoke, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically spoke to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised some of them in degrees. And we gave Isa, the son of Mary, son of Maryam alayhi salam, we gave him clear signs. So Mujahid, who is a commentator of the Quran, he mentions that, you know, when he says Allah spoke to some of them, that refers to Musa alayhi salam. And others he raised in degrees, that is referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there's a number of narrations in that regard. I'll mention one which is from Sahih Muslim, from Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu an. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Musa alayhi salam asked his Lord. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, who is the lowest level in terms of degrees in Jannah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, replied to him, it is going to be somebody who will come after the people of Jannah have entered Jannah. And it will be said to him, now you enter Jannah. So everybody who's supposed to go to Jannah has gone to Jannah. Now this person comes along and Allah says, okay, now you go. He says, Kayf, Rabbi Kayf, how am I going to enter Jannah? Whereas everybody's taken their places. Everybody's in, they've taken their places. Where's my space? So then it will be said to him, okay, are you happy and satisfied that you get the equivalent of a king of the kings of the world, that you get that much? The king of Brunei, you know, whatever he's got, you get that, right? The queen of England, whatever she's got, Buckingham Palace, Windsor Palace, this palace, that palace, you get all of that. Are you satisfied? He said, of course, Raditu Rabb, I'm satisfied, my Lord. So then Allah will say, okay, you get that much. وَمِثْلُهُ 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 وَمِثْلُهُ. You get that much? And an equivalent to that? 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 Because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's abundant. He wants everybody to have lots and lots of space. Remember, we have to live forever. If you're stuck in a small place, it's going to be problematic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a huge amount of place. The fifth time after Allah said this, he will say, I'm satisfied, Ya Lord, O my Lord. So then Allah will say to him, this is for you and also 10 times the amount of that. 10 times the amount of that. I mean, you just can't, you know, you can't even understand this. And this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. And for you is also whatever your nafs, yourself, your soul desires. And whatever your eyes desire and find satisfaction in. So he says, Raditu Rabb, I'm satisfied with that. So then Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, now I've understood that's the lowest, then what must be the highest? If this is the lowest. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Ula'ika alladhina aradtu. Oh, those are the people who I'm waiting for. I've got a special choice for them. Gharastu karamatahum biyadayya. I have essentially put the seeds in for their honor by my hands. And I have put a seal over it. So he says, I've planted it, I've prepared it. Everything is prepared by Allah. But when you say, I did it with my own hands, which means it's something very, very special. And then I sealed it. فَلَمْ تَرَ عَيْنٌ وَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ أُذُنٌ وَلَمْ يَخْطَرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. So that is something which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no human has ever even thought about. Imam Tirmidhi then has another narration, which is from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the lowest person in Jannah, he will look towards all of his gardens, his spouses, his bounties, his servants, his thrones for 1,000 years. You know, as long as you can travel for 1,000 years, he'll just look at these things. However, the most noble in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening. That will be more than all of these bounties. Now what must that be like, subhanAllah? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. These are the faces that will be very resplendent and shining on that day, looking towards their Lord. So I think there's a number of other narrations, but I'm only going to explain these two because this kind of explains who the highest level is and who the lowest level is, and it gives us that understanding. Now, when you enter a place, they generally give you a gift. So when you enter a new place, you generally get a gift. So what is the gift that people will be given when they enter into Jannah? A special gift. Of course, everything in there is a gift, but this is a special gift when you enter. So that's why he says this is the 41st chapter on the gift of the Ahlul Jannah when they enter. Imam Muslim relates this hadith from Thawban. He said, I was standing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once I was standing with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the rabbis of the Yahud came along. And he said, Assalamu alayka ya Muhammad. What did he say? As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad. So I pushed him. He got upset. I was standing next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This person comes along and he says, salam upon you, O Muhammad. So I pushed him and he was about to fall down. Meaning I pushed him, I shoved him. So he said, lima tadfa'ni? Why did you push me? So I said, Allah taqul ya Rasulullah. Why don't you say ya Rasulullah? O Messenger of Allah. So it's like, you know, somebody comes to a sheikh and says, Imam, you know, Sheikh Ahmed, Sheikh Yusuf, whatever. Brother Ahmed, how are you? So the next to him says, La hawla wa la quwwata, call him Sheikh. Why are you calling Ahmed for? Something like that. It's interesting because sometimes, you know, you have very close friends, your classmates, they come to you and they'll say, Drahman, how are you? You know? In fact, some of them used to just call me by my last name. Right? And they just call me by my last name, because famous by my last name. And you say, man, you're being disrespectful. But there's a You know, there's a certain casualness between, why don't you say, Ya Rasulallah? He said, the Yahudi said, I'm just calling him by the name that his family gave him, Muhammad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, my name is Muhammad. That is the name my family gave me. So he said, look, that's fine. So the Yahudi said, I've come to ask you a question. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that, will it benefit you if I told you something, if I related something to you? So he came to ask a question. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, what benefit, will it benefit you if I told you and I gave you a response? So he said, I will listen with my ears. Now, whatever that means, I will listen with my ears, maybe not with my heart or whatever the case is. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stick with him and he started poking, he poked it in the ground and he said, okay, ask. So the Yahudi said, where will the people be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the earth to another earth and the heavens to another earth, another heavens? Meaning, on the Day of Judgment, what is going to happen? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will be in a darkness before the bridge. Before the causeway, they will be in a darkness. So then he said, okay, who will be the first person to go over on the Day of Judgment? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the poor muhajireen. Then the Yahudi asked, what is going to be their gift when they enter Jannah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is going to be the extra part of a fish's liver. Now, some of you who don't eat fish may be wondering what kind of a gift that's going to be. But when it's about Jannah, then everything is going to be quite amazing. And it's going to be a special fish, whatever the case is. Okay, what is then their sustenance afterwards? Meaning, what are they going to be given after that? That's going to be the starters, it seems. So what's going to come afterwards? So he says, يُنْحَرْ لَهُمْ ثَوْرُ الْجَنَّةِ. A buffalo of Jannah, a bull of Jannah will be sacrificed for them. Such an animal that used to eat from the sides of Jannah, from the surroundings of Jannah. So it's going to be a well-nourished, jannati animal. فَمَا شَرَابُهُمْ عَلَيْهَا عَلَيْهِ. What are they going to be given to drink? From a stream that is called Salsabila. That's what they're going to be given to drink. So then you know what he said? He said, صَدَقْتَ. You've told the truth. He said, you've told the truth. And he said, I came to ask you about something that nobody on the earth knows except a prophet or maybe one or two others. This is something that not everybody knows. He said, that is what I came to ask you about. I came to ask you about something which only a prophet will know or maybe one or two other people. So the Prophet ﷺ said, will it benefit you if I told it to you? So he said, I will listen with my ears. So he said then that I have come to ask you about the child. Meaning, how does a child become male or female? How is that determined? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the fluid of a man is white and the fluid of a woman is yellowish. When they come together, essentially he's talking symbolically here, when they come together, and if the man's fluid tops the woman's fluid, then by the hukum of Allah, it becomes a male. And if it's the woman's that dominates, then it becomes a female. Now, of course, you can talk about chromosomes here and explain it in that sense. So the Yahudi said, you've told the truth. You are a prophet. And then he walked away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said afterwards, he said, he has asked me about this, that he's, you know, all the questions that he had. I didn't know any of this. I didn't have the answer for this until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this information. I didn't have this information before. That's why there's another narration which is mentioned in Bukhari from Anas radiallahu anhu that Abdullah ibn Salam, now maybe these are related or maybe they're different, but many of the Yahud used to believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet. But because he's not from their tribe, he said he's another prophet, we've got our prophet. He's not from the Bani Israel. There's people like that who believe that today, that yes, he's a prophet. Muhammad is a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but we don't have to believe him. Our final prophet is still to come. So Anas radiallahu anhu says that Abdullah ibn Salam, who was one of the Jewish rabbis at the time, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara. And he said, I'm going to come and ask you, I've come to ask you about three things that only a prophet should know. What is the first sign of the Day of Judgment, of Qiyamah? And what is the first food of the people of Jannah? And what is it that pulls the child towards its mother or father, in the sense that what it makes it male or female? So the Prophet ﷺ responded, he said that, oh, Jibreel alayhi salam has just told me about this. Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, Jibreel? He said, yes. He said, oh, that is, he's an enemy of the Yahud. He's from the angels, he's an enemy of the Yahud. So, the Prophet ﷺ read this ayah, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Say that whoever is an enemy of Jibreel, then he comes to your heart with the hukm of Allah. He is the one who reveals things to your heart with the hukm of Allah. Anyway, the response he gave him was, the first sign of the Day of Judgment will be a fire that will erupt and basically gather everybody from the Mashriq to the Maghrib, from the east to the west. The first food that the people of Jannah will eat will be extra liver of the fish, and when a man's fluid dominates that of the woman's fluid, then that is what pulls the child towards its side, and likewise the other way. So then he said, Abdullah ibn Salam, who actually did become Muslim, and he said, I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that you are Allah's messenger. Then there's a lengthy other part to it which we've read before, which is that he wanted it to be clarified to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was a scholar from among them. But he knew that if he became Muslim right now, the Jews would start slandering him, making him out to be the worst of them. So what he did was, before he declared his faith, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, call some of them and ask them about me. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was hiding, he hid. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called some, and he asked them, what do you think of Abdullah ibn Salam? Oh, he's the best of us, the child of the best of us. And then after that, he comes on, he says that I bear witness that he's a, you know, that I am a Muslim. And then they started slandering him. Right. So that's the rest of the story. There's another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. It says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the earth on the Day of Judgment will be just like one bread, one dough. So it's just be one thing, which the reason that's being mentioned is because, you know, when you have a dough, you can mix it, you can move it, shape it how you want. So it'll be like that. The Jabbar, the Mighty One, will move it around as he wishes with his hands. Just like one of you takes a piece of bread and moves it around on a journey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move all of this around for the people of Jannah as he wishes. Anyway, then a person from the Yahud, he came and he said, Baraka ar-Rahmanu alayka ya Abul Qasim. May the Most Merciful One have mercy on you, O Abul Qasim. Abul Qasim was the title, the agnomen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his son was Qasim. Should I tell you about what the people of Jannah will get? He said, of course. He says that the earth will be like one flat piece, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to us, and he started smiling until you could see his premolars. And then the person said, should I tell you about what condiment they're going to have, something that you dip the bread in? He said, of course. He said, it will be balamun wa nunun. Balamun wa nunun. So what is that? He says, thawrun, which is the buffalo or the bull, the beef. and وَنُونٌ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ زِيَادَةِ كَبِدِهِمَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفِ, and there will be a fish that just from its liver 70,000 people will eat. So that's what a person is going to get. That's going to be, you can say, the initial feast that you will get. Now if that's what's been chosen, it may sound however it does, but in the hereafter, it's going to be something else. We can just expect the characteristics of the hereafter to be about it. The next chapter is chapter 42. Again, I'm just going to relate to you just some of the narrations in here that give us an idea. This is about the fragrance, the wind of Jannah. The fragrance of Jannah, the wind of Jannah, and how far it reaches. This first narration is from Tabarani, which is related from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever kills a person of the Ahlul Dhimma, meaning in a Muslim land, somebody who's come in and who's been given a visa. In today's world, it'd be considered somebody who's been given a visa, security, that no problem, you can go, you're fine, you can go. If anybody kills a person like this, you know, because a person in a Muslim land, they may feel that they can just kill a non-Muslim. They can't. Right? You just can't do that. If anybody does that, they will not smell even the fragrance of Jannah. And the fragrance of it can be smelled from 100 years distance. That's how powerful the smell is. They won't smell it as well. So that means they won't even get close to Jannah. So there's numerous ahadith that speak about this. For example, there's another narration which is from Tirmidhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever kills a person who we have an agreement with, who has the protection of Allah and the protection of His Messenger, then he has violated the protection of Allah. He will not smell the fragrance of Jannah, whereas its fragrance can be perceived from 70 years distance. So you have 70 years, you have 100 years, basically saying that it's a very, very long distance that you can smell it from. There's numerous other narrations. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there is one which is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim from Anas radiallahu anhu. Very interesting. Listen to this carefully. Some of you may have known this narration. Anas radiallahu anhu says that my uncle missed the Battle of Badr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was really, really difficult for him to bear. It was something he regretted enormously. So then he said that he used to say that this is the first expedition, this is the first encounter that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, and I was absent. That's really sad. I can see that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the ability to see another encounter with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah will surely see what I will do. He's just waiting to prove himself. He was frightened to say anything other than that. Anyway, he managed to take part in the battle of Uhud afterwards, the next battle. Sa'd saw him and Sa'd asked him, "Where are you going?" Now remember, he'd come with a lot of zeal. He said, "Where are you going?" So he said, he says, "There is the fragrance of paradise that I am feeling, I am smelling, I am experiencing on the other side of Uhud. I can see that fragrance, I can feel that fragrance coming from there." Now listen to this. And then after that, he just fought until he was martyred. And you know, he fought with so much penetration inside that he was found to have 80 something wounds, more than 80 wounds, whether that was from a spear or from a strike with a sword, or from a spear, or from arrows. And it was his sister, whose name was Rubayy bint Nadar, who was able to figure him out. He was so wounded, so mutilated, that the only way she was able to figure him out was through his fingerprints. Subhanallah, meaning from his forefingers. That's how well she knew him. That was the only way. Ajib. They didn't need fingerprint readers in those days. I guess you could figure these things out. You know, they were very close to nature. We've become very artificial. What we've done is we have outsourced all of our extra thinking, memorizing everything to our phones, and to all of these facilities and computers, so we don't have to do the processing ourselves. We've outsourced it to all of these systems. So anyway, then the verse came down, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. There are some men among the believers who have really confirmed and shown what they have promised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we're going to look, our chapter is actually about the fragrance of Jannah. So what's this hadith? Well, Ibn al-Qayyim then explains that there are paradise, the fragrance of paradise is of two types. Because here there's a mention that he smelt the fragrance of paradise from Uhud, and that's why he just went. He says that one is the fragrance that can be experienced in this world, which you don't, it's not the actual fragrance that you can smell, it's something that you perceive with your heart. It's not something that can be put in words, like it's like this or like that. Because it's something that you perceive, you experience, as opposed to actually smell with your nose. Then the second type of fragrance is something that you know, because the first one is like, it just makes you calm. You feel like you're smelling it inside. You can't really smell anything with your nose, but it's almost like you're smelling with your nose. But it's more of an experience. The second one is something that you can actually smell with your body, in a sense with your nose. Just like you smell flowers and roses. So the one that you can smell, the physical one, the perceptible one that you can smell with roses and so on, that the people of Jannah, they will obviously get that perception in the hereafter as well. And the people in the dunya, some people get that. The prophets could get that. And this is what Anas radiallahu anhu seems to have perceived, a fragrance, that the perceptible fragrance. And it's also possible that it could have been the other one. So Ibn al-Qayyim wants to mention that both possibilities are there. So Imam Tabarani, he relates that the fragrance of paradise can be perceived from 1,000 years distance, he mentions. And the people who will not be able to smell it will be the people who are disobedient to their parents, and those people who break the ties of kinship with their family. Those people will not feel it. There's some other people who will not get it as well. There's a hadith that's related from Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi in his Musnad. Prophet ﷺ said that whoever associates themselves or attribute themselves to other than their father, you know, somebody who says somebody else is their father, they will not smell the fragrance of paradise. Whereas its fragrance can be smelled from 50,000 years distance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world has given us absolutely beautiful fragrances. He has allowed us to smell various different beautiful fragrances and odors, so that, and likewise beautiful images, scenery, beautiful fruits for the taste and so on. And all of this to give us an idea of what the hereafter is going to be like in a very multiplied way. Subhanallah, you know, you have foods. What category of foods would you say evoke the greatest form of, can you even say that? Is it meats for you? Is it various different types of fruits? Vegetables? What would you say gives you the greatest sense of satisfaction and pleasure? Is it meats or is it fruits, you think? What would you say? Just imagine the mango, the watermelon, honeydew melon, you know, just imagine a really nice orange, a really succulent pineapple, a really mouth-watering apricot or a peach. Imagine the way it's made, the way it's formed, so many different layers, so many different colors. Then you have all of these other, the passion fruit, the dragon fruit, the cactus fruit. There's just so many different fruits that we've seen, we haven't seen. So would you say it's meat or fruits that give more satisfaction? There should be some meat eaters here that gosh hi chai unko bas. Who would say meat, who would say fruit? Who says fruit is something that gives you more pleasure? Yeah, because meat has to be cooked properly as well, right? You don't always get that right. Whereas fruits, You have to get the right fruit, and if you're lucky, if Allah gives you the right watermelon and the right this or right that, then who says meat? Is there any meat people here? No? That's why there's another hadith that Abu Nu'aym relates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jannah, طيبي لأهلك, become even better, more excellent for your inhabitants. So it increases and enhances in its excellence. And you know when it does that, it says, فَذَٰلِكَ الْبَرْدَ الَّذِي يَجِدُهُ النَّاسُ بِالسَّحَرِ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ. That is the coolness that you will experience, that people will experience at the time of suhoor. That is the paradise increasing. And this is obviously in a hot country, that at that time you have the coolness that is coming from Jannah. Now, just like Allah, in a similar way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fire of this world, and all of the pains, and all of the concerns, worries, griefs, all of that to just prepare you for the hereafter. Remind you that it's going to be worse in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the fire, He says, نَحْنُ جَعَلْنَاهَا تَذْكِرَةً. We made it a reminder. We made it a reminder for you. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned in a hadith that the intense heat or cold is from the breathing of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us and help us and protect us. The next chapter is got a few narrations about the kinds of announcements that will be made in Jannah. So the next chapter, which is 43rd, is about al-adhan alladhi yu'adhan bihi mu'adhin al-jannati fiha. Doesn't mean the adhan of salat. Adhan means an announcement. That's what it is. So what are the various different announcements that you will get in Jannah? Imam Muslim relates in the Sahih, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu and Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that an announcer will announce, a herald will announce, إِنَّ لَكُمْ. These are the various announcements you'll get in Jannah. So people are in Jannah, and then the announcer will say, now it is your right to always be healthy and never be sick. It is now your right to always be living and you will never die. It is now your right to ever remain a youth and never to get old. And it is now your right that you enjoy and you will never be depressed. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And they will be announced, it will be announced to them that those are the gardens, or that is the garden that they have been made to inherit because of what you used to do. So this will be the announcement. Uthman ibn Abi Shaybah, he relates another narration from Abu Huraira and Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu. Same verse, so similar thing. It will be announced that you remain without illness, you remain healthy, and you remain in here forever. You will never die. And enjoy now, and you have no reason to have any kind of problem. Sahih Muslim, another narration here from Suhaib radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the people of Jannah enter Jannah, and people of hellfire enter hellfire, an announcer will say, O people of Jannah, Allah has a promise with you. They will say, what is it? Hasn't He already made our scales heavy, made our faces white and shining, has entered us into Jannah, and has given us safety from the hellfire? So what else is there now? He's given us everything. However, then the veils will be lifted and they will look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wallahi, they would not have been given anything of Jannah that we've described, that it will be more beloved to them than what they will see now. Because with all the blessing that you have, there has to be something more that Allah will give you once in a while. That's why there's another narration from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. He said that he heard Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu on the minbar in Basra later after the Prophet passed away. giving a khutbah, saying, Allah Azza wa Jal will send on the day of judgment an angel to the people of Jannah and say, O people of Jannah, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given you everything that He has promised you? They will look around and they will see all the adornments, all of the clothing, the garments, the rivers, the pure spouses. And they'll say, of course, Allah has given us fulfilled whatever. 3 times they will say this. They will look and they will not find anything missing. Everything that they've been promised, they'll find. So they'll say, of course. But then the herald will say, there's something left. Because Allah has said, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. For the people who have done good is a goodly reward, وَزِيَادَةً, and something extra. So all of that what you have in Jannah is good, is the good reward. The ziyada is to see the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beatific vision. Another narration, Bukhari and Muslim, similar, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the people of Jannah, O people of Jannah, they will say, Labbaik Rabbana wa Sa'daik, we are present, our Lord. Are you satisfied? They will say, why should we not be satisfied when you've given us everything that no other creation has been given? So he says, I'm going to give you better than that. They'll say, Rabbana, what can be more superior to that? I'm going to now have my satisfaction come upon you, and hence I will never be angry with you again. So there's no wrong you can do anymore. You can do as you please. Another announcement. In Bukhari and Muslim, it mentions that from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that when the people of Jannah will enter Jannah and the people of hell will go into hell, then the announcement that will be made there is, O people of Jannah, no death now. O people of hellfire, no death now. Kullun khalidun fima huwa fi. Each of you now will remain forever there. You know, when you go into a good place and you have still this feeling, I'm going to have to leave after 4 days, 5 days, my booking is going to expire, or whatever the case is, right? So when they're going in, they see all of this beauty. And then it says, okay, now there's no death. So can you imagine the extra, that, oh, I've got lots of time, I don't need to rush. Let me just look at everything first. Now this adhan, this announcement, even though it's going to be to the people of Jannah and Jahannam, it will reach all the people of Jannah and Jahannam. So whatever he says to the people of Jannah will also be heard by the people of Jahannam. And likewise, the other way. Then there's another announcement. On the day that they will be going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an angel will be sent to them and he will announce that, okay, this is the day to visit Allah, and they will all run to do ziyarah. You know, just like every Friday there's a adhan, likewise. And that will be for the amount of time it takes for Jumu'ah. So increase your time that you spend for Jumu'ah. Go early for Jumu'ah. May Allah give us the tawfiq. He will explain that a bit later in more detail. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us paradise and really allow us to maximize our time here to get the best of paradise and the best of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm.